The three of you rush over to the now abandoned pub. It seems the vampire is aware that you are coming. These warrens are not a fun place to be. And here is Alice Beale, tied, gagged, looking quite frightened and pale. The ground gives way underneath you as Ashling goes skidding out of view down a horrible little vampire dug trapdoor.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, damn it all.
This is the most transparent trap of all time, Letitia. What are you afraid is going to happen here?
I'm afraid she's a vampire.
She does look a little pale. She seems almost feverish, and you do see two tidy little bites on her neck. I feel so cold.
I think it's done something to her.
Something you can undo?
I'm trying to figure that out. Go help Ashling.
Yes, ma'am.
Ashling, you are in a bad, bad place right now. What you see here is the Lurker. Disheveled, long-haired, blonde child, dressed in rags. Cassidy, you become very aware of your blood.
The only thing the Lurker is getting out of Cassidy Kava is going to be lead.
A vampire's first feeding is important. Hold still for a second. I'm going to give you something that will help. And we'll let some of her blood drip into Alice Beale's mouth.
These rounds slam into the Limehouse Lurker. With the blood that's now leaking out of it, it is tracing glyphs on the wall. You point out the root glyph and frantically tell Cassidy to shoot that out. But things lurch. There's a definite sense that the ritual began.
The tavern above is abandoned, right?
It is.
So if we, you know, blew like a hole that would let the sunlight down, that would be something.
Perhaps with some kind of crate of explosives?
Perhaps.
So this is where we see that there's daisy-chained sticks of dynamite all along the path down here. You're able to forge a path through here, and as you see what seems like the exit, you again see those little stairs. There's also a little bit of light coming down from those, but it doesn't look like the sunlight from London.
She's a little delirious. Without really meaning to, she'll go to them and like try to look up, see if she can figure out what that light is.
I'm going to need you to take another condition, the Sons of Another World, before you come to your senses and have to scurry away again. As the dog and whistle shakes and shudders and begins to kind of fall into the ground, and you all come back into the comparatively bright light of the sun setting over London. So, Hargrave House, you have successfully handled the Limehouse Lurker with rewards to come later. We have gotten to the end of our day phase as the sun has started to go down and you return dusty, bloodied. I think at some point Alice Beale finally does pass out and probably has to be kind of carried and dragged a little while. And we enter our dusk phase. So, a couple things to go over here. First, we resolve any playbook moves that trigger during the dusk. Cassidy has one of those. I don't think your most beloved or torn ankle are going to apply here, so you can just make the quickening however you'd like.
Cool. Roll. Hey, I'll be doing a composure because that's a plus one and not nothing. Yay!
Wow.
That's an 11.
An 11. Hey. On a 10 plus, your body is stronger and faster and you manage to keep the quickening in check. You roll with advantage on vitality until the next dawn. That's awesome. So, I don't know, maybe...
You know, all that dynamite kind of gets the blood flowing.
You shoot a vampire, you dynamite its house, you save a girl. You're feeling awesome right now. I'd like to ask us a paint the scene question as we return to Hargrave House here. Let's see. I like this one. I'm going to be nice because I think it's really fun, actually. I think that it's decided, unfortunately, for whatever reason, that the safest place for Alice Beale right now is the basement. perhaps for fear of running into some sunlight and potentially burning, who knows. So our prompt for Hargrave House tonight is the basement. This space is cluttered with the belongings of long-dead hunters who used to live in Hargrave House. What do you take from it? Add it to your personal quarters. And so as you're kind of clearing boxes and making a space to lay out, Alice Beale, what catches each of your eye down here as Hargrave House has just abandoned all sorts of clutter in this space?
I'm going to say bat trap. That's a big bat trap.
That's awesome.
Nice.
You said this was the basement?
Mm-hmm.
And just to check, we've done the reception hall and the trophy room, right?
Reception hall, trophy room, and I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm keeping track of them on the hunter sheet, so.
Thank you.
A golden monkey skeleton.
Oh. I love,
all right, then.
Loving the contrast between a rusty old bear trap and a... Is the skeleton made of gold, or is the species the golden monkey?
That's what I was going to ask.
Made of gold.
Okay. A solid gold monkey skeleton. That's excellent. Yeah. Letitia? Perhaps a middle ground?
A what?
I said perhaps a middle ground between these extremes. Something you can buy at the store and a golden monkey skeleton.
I mean, what's the fun of getting something you could get at the store, really?
I don't know. That box of dynamite seemed to work out pretty okay.
God. I wasn't ready. I had to think for a second still. Hang on.
You want some ideas?
Yeah, if we can float some.
It's something that another hunter left in the basement, and so what's something that indicates, like, implies who this person was?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, I'd have to then decide on, like, I was thinking that, I just have to then figure out the hunter.
Mm-hmm. You've got a map still, you've used a sword and a cool pocket watch. What's another awesome explorer item to scoop up? Is it something you wear? Could that be fun?
It could be.
We could be.
I had a thought, but I'm not going for it.
It could be cryptic. It could be a locket with a portrait inside.
It could be. I think it might be a key.
That's really good.
I think it is an ornate key to something.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Probably fine. And so you scrape the bear trap, the monkey skeleton, and the ornate key off a table so you can lay Alice Beale on it and with some spare pillows and blankets make her as comfortable as you can. She will need future help, but at least for the moment, as a safe place in Hargrave House. And you all have an evening to get to, as Cremorne Garden still awaits, and now you have this lingering lead of some strangeness happening with the Society Obscura.
Huh.
I require drugs. Very badly.
Just a casual 3 conditions.
Yeah.
And you have a cool buddy you could go hang out with. You don't even need to tangle up another hunter in that.
Is that how that works? I thought the Mortal Move needed a hunter.
What does the... Don't you have a special...
Me?
Yeah, the explorer. If you have an intimate moment with the mastermind while you're engaged in your vice, clear an appropriate condition, and the mastermind can ask you any question they wish, you could go hang out with Flag and talk about the exciting day you've had.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
I have long had a thought about the first time that this might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it starts with Letitia probably going to her quarters in Hargrave House and finding her, I don't know what a pill bottle, I guess it's made of glass, but that's probably like the amber glass style.
Mm-hmm.
And opens it and is like, oh, it's empty. So I think she's going to go to the pharmacy.
Yeah. Also, if you want, like vintage pill boxes, I don't know how to describe this, but I'm posting a picture of it. Like,
oh yeah, oh, like they're decorated.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little,
they had, like,
that's really pretty.
yeah, little like paintings on them sometimes.
I would feel way better about my meds if they came out of a beautiful little porcelain compact.
You should get one.
I know. Who would have thought? Absolutely. You can take them out of the bottle.
I think it is fun if she has one. I'm struggling to not make the design on the top just like a world map. That might be too cheesy even for her, but I'm not sure.
I'm trying my hardest to make a mental note to sell the world's shittiest little globe compact mirror in public access in a year.
I love that. My mind went immediately to like, oh, some sort of really orientalist Chinese.
I also was like,
exactly imagery there. But I was like, is that a bit too far? I don't know.
It could be like a little repurposed like snuff box with like, you know, Chinese style mountains and trees and that sort of like very faint watercolor ink style. That could be pretty. I was also just picturing, what if it looked like a tortoise, which is cute.
Maybe. I kind of like maybe an animal more. I like maybe a tortoise, yeah.
Tortoise, cool. Yeah. So,
Leticia needs to go score some drugs. What about the rest of y'all?
I'm good to go. I'm good to explore.
I still have a condition slot. I could fuck around and find out a little more.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of room in there.
Is this heading back to Cremorne Gardens, where Leticia told you she found a girl who had been entranced by a fishman and was carrying a strange book on Greek mythology? Or is it time to go poke your noses into this new threat of the Society Obscura?
Oh, man.
I'd say let's take them as they come. Let's go see if we can find out a little more about the creature of Cremorne Gardens.
All right, that's Cassidy spoken for. Ashley, you tagging along or are you going your own way?
That's a really good question, because I'm pretty interested in the Obscura thingamajig.
Yeah.
I might just go scout out that.
Look, Cassidy's like full wolf mode right now. He's probably fine.
Oh yeah, he can handle himself. He's fine.
he dynamited a vampire. He can do anything.
Oh yeah. He's very strong.
Excellent. So Leticia is going to the pharmacy to try and get some opium pills for herself. Cassidy Carver is returning to his place of brief employment at Cremorne Gardens to try and figure out what's going on there with this supposed fish monster. And Ashling is heading over to the Society Obscura. I'm going to begin by introducing our unseen and not forgetting it like I did last time. This is Moonlit Mudlarking. The port of London is one of the busiest in the world, and with so much cargo loaded and unloaded, the odd crate ends up overboard. The ebb and flow of the Thames deposits this lost cargo up and down the riverbank. Under the light of the full moon, the desperate or optimistic pick through the sucking mud of low tide, stinking of shit and rotting fish, in the hope of finding treasure. So let's all paint the scene. What debris from industry, trade, or home life is found washed up on the mud banks of the Thames? What does it tell us about the city? And I think I have a very simple one. I think there's the broken glass of a lot of little pill bottles like we were just talking about.
God damn you, I was going to do that one.
I can give that back to you, and that can be your echo of the night, actually. I don't need to...
No, it's okay. I mean, as long as it still counts as an echo in the night, I was going to reference that in the scene, yeah. But...
No, I think that's perfectly fitting that I should let my players paint the scene instead of immediately answering first, because that's rude of me. So we've got broken amber glass. What else is washing up on the muddy sides of the river here? Oh, I have a different inclusion then. I think it's another horrible little porcelain baby doll, like the one we saw with the face smashed off of. My dad used to have the creepiest little porcelain dolls.
This one's a tough one.
A corpse. Nobody recognizes it.
Yeah, just face down in the muck.
Yeah. They try to find whoever it was for days. Nobody knows.
I want to say like a crate of preserved fish or something. Which is funny because there is absolutely not any fucking living fish in this disgusting river.
That's how they adapt. They preserve themselves.
Yeah, when you have dyslexia and see the word persevere. Like, I just need to pickle myself and I'll get through this.
Yes.
True.
Alrighty. That's how it is. I'm so curious, Letitia. Do you have a favorite pharmacy you like to go to? Is there one near Hargrave House?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty nice one near Hargrave House. Because, you know, we haven't talked a lot about our other neighbors beyond Flag, but it seems like we're in kind of a nice part of the city. So I think it makes sense that there's a pharmacy nearby.
Yeah, Belgravia, Belgrave Square mm-hmm. is a pretty well-heeled place for sure. And so you're talking to the clerk. I don't think there's too much to go over here. I think it goes unremarked on other than a look that you're covered in the dust of what seems like an entire mining operation and a considerable amount of your own blood.
I think I brushed myself off before I came out, if nothing else.
Okay, you perhaps bathed during that dusk phase. That's good.
We had a little bit of time.
So you're looking a little more presentable, but I do think you look like you're in as much pain as you are. And again, you've lost a fair bit of blood, so they scurry off to go get your opium. And that's when the little bell on the door tinkles as one Admiral Flag briefly seems to fill the entire doorway, just like completely blotting out the setting sun behind him, and steps in. Kind of unhurriedly, and almost ignoring you for a moment, just like takes up a position behind you, half like he's waiting in line and half just sort of staring off at nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just breathing.
Evening, Admiral.
Letitia, you don't have your little friends with you tonight?
They're occupied. No doubt I will be soon too.
Always busy these days.
I find it best to keep busy, don't you?
I do indeed. It's so hard to find crew who understand the value of hard work these days. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't know. I can't say I've had any issues with it.
That's what I always liked about you, Letitia. You did remind me of myself, in a way.
It's far from the first time you've said that to me.
Perhaps someday it'll sink in. And I think that's when your pills come out.
Mm-hmm. I think immediately downs two, probably.
I think soon after the clerk sees Flag, immediately rushes back into the back without his order needing to be spoken. The opium still has you in its grasp, then?
It has everyone in its grasp, Flag, whether we like it or not. We made sure of that.
Not all of us. I do not turn away from pain. It is the world's way of speaking to you, wordlessly.
The world has many ways of speaking to you, Flag.
And I think at that, there's very slowly just the most cold, miserable smile splits his face. And he says, "That it does." And as the clerk comes back with his little parcel wrapped up, you're not sure what it is, he says, "Come, walk with me for a time, Letitia. It's been too long."
Mm-hmm. She will. Just kind of not. I think she turns slightly before he says that. So it's like, it is more like she knows where this is going and not like necessarily like she has listened to him. But expected this.
I decided to do this, actually. You're not telling me what to do.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And as we cut away from that lovely unpleasantness with Flag, I think we need our first...
Can I put one thing in really quick?
Oh, yeah.
I think while the clerk was in the back getting Flag's parcel, I think there was the sound of glass breaking. As he, in his nerves, knocked something over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to fuck up Admiral Flag's order, that's for sure. Let's say for scene two here, let's throw to Briar. Two youths come to blows over a case of whiskey with a couple of bottles still intact. As they push and shove in the slimy mud, how do we know this fight is about more than just the find?
I think we know it is more than just a find when, like, some of these bottles get broken and they barely even look at it.
One.
Like, they're already too focused on whatever it is they're really fighting about.
Uh-huh. One maybe gets used as a weapon.
Ooh.
So, little scene of struggle on the riverbank, caked in stinking muck. As we head to a much nicer part of town on the waterfront, we return to Cremorne Gardens. And much like before, you can hear it long before you see it. Laughter and music and the crashing of bowling pins. As much like always, Cremorne Gardens is a thriving attraction. Cassidy, you once worked here for Thomas Simpson, who runs the place. You have any interest in trying to find him, or are you taking a different approach? What does investigating Cremorne look like tonight for you?
Good question. So remind me again, what have we been told about the sightings thus far?
So people are seeing what seems to be a fish man or fish monster. It menaced a young couple of lovers. It seems to be scaring people off from the area of the park. The question we're currently trying to answer is the creature real or is it a hoax? And the only clue we've found so far is a girl singing an unusual song. This was Beulah Thrum, who seemed to be kind of enchanted by the creature.
Okay, I would love to maybe just, like, patrol the area then, in, like, hopes of either bumping into it, getting sight of it, seeing, like, running into people who have had a run-in with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, late-ish, right? We're in the night phase.
Yeah, sun's gone down, people are having fun, there's not too many folks over by the water other than, you know, maybe a painter or two or, you know, a couple other young lovers on walks. But you can definitely keep an eye out. This sounds like the information move to me. What are you rolling that with to be composed as there's a fish monster about?
Probably composure, right? This is about
keeping
my edge a little, keeping an eye out.
Yeah.
Not getting distracted.
And I think, let's be mean here. Most Beloved's going to kick in.
Yay! Okay, so that's the lowest of 3d6.
3d6 plus 1 here. This is the information move.
Ugh, so that's a 4.
That is indeed a 4. And so you're standing on the...
I don't know shit.
Standing by the water. You're peering out into the dark, hoping to catch some sight of its flashing eyes or its body moving through the water. And instead, you are jump scared quite severely by a short man appearing right behind you and shouting at the top of his lungs, "Calamity Cassidy Carver, what the hell is your no good hide doing back at my garden?" As Thomas Simpson, the proprietor of this attraction, has turned up behind you. And he is apparently perturbed to see a former employee just lazing about.
I don't know. He comes out, like, behind me and yells. I probably kind of fucking, like, elbow him in the face as I turn around.
Oh my god. Battery, assault, battery and assault everyone. And he shouts at the people nearby. You all saw it. If I have to issue a statement,
whoa,
I hope
now.
Yes.
You ought to be careful about coming up behind a fellow like that.
You what are you doing here?
Investigating.
Investigating what? I've done nothing wrong.
I ain't investigating you, so.
You think I'm not important enough to investigate?
More or less, yeah.
He's turning beet red. You can see beneath his thinning hair that the top of his head is also turning red. This man is irritated with you, Cassidy. Let's come back to it in a second. Ashling, you are making your way across town in pursuit of the Whately camera and all this strangeness going on.
Oh,
and the Society Obscura is a pretty well-to-do. Their little clubhouse is in a nicer part of town. I think has a very avant-garde little sign, you know, advertising what it is. And the lights are on inside. It seems like whatever the hour, these folks are still hard at work doing whatever it is they do.
Well, hardworking folk. Is there just like an entrance door to go in?
Yeah, there's a front door for the street.
I think I just tap up a knock on it.
I think you hear a muffled, "Come in!"
Oh, I think I do. Yeah, I just head on in and see what I see and who I see.
And what you see is a lush entrance for the Society Obscura's clubhouse. This place has thick curtains to block out any unwanted light. It has really nice upholstery everywhere. It feels like even this entry room is probably itself used as a shooting location, because it's so comfortable and decorated that it feels like, oh, you can immediately imagine people draped over everything in here. And
yeah.
I think true to exactly that, draped across one of these is a young man. He's beautiful. He's gorgeous and soft. He looks like he's never seen the sun or never done a day of hard work in his life. And he's in a pretty transparently orientalist, like belly dancer's costume. And he says, "Hello, welcome in."
Oh, hi. I didn't realize you were in the middle of something. I think Ashling is blushing, trying not to make too much eye contact.
And he lazily waves a hand and says, "Oh, no. Portia's done with me for the evening, has worn me out." And,
oh, good.
He kicks his little jeweled feet off of the couch he's on to stand and greet you. And he says, "Welcome. What brings you to the Society Obscura?" Briar in the chat, Ashling of blushing, "Have you ever been possessed before?"
I think I say, a bit of curiosity, I guess. Mainly about the cameras you use here. I'm terribly fascinated by this technology. I have to admit, I don't know much about it, but, I've seen some interesting photographs recently.
And he
just made me want to ask some questions.
He positively bounces up and down and he says, Oh good. Have you ever had a portrait taken? It's wonderful."
No, I could never. And she's about to say, like, "I could never think of affording such a thing," but I think she catches herself. "Never had the chance."
And he flutters, heavily made up, long lashed eyes. He says, "That's just terrible. I'm Periwinkle. What's your name?"
"Ashling. Nice to meet you. Who does the photographing around here? Well, you mentioned a name, right?"
"Portia and Cyrus own this place. They make me do all the hard work, but they're the ones who come up with the shoots and take the pictures and tell me what to do."
"Could I see them? Would that be too much to ask? I know I've just wandered in from the street, but, well, if you're done with the photographing, I imagine there's not much else for them to do."
He takes a step back and puts a hand on his chin as he kind of looks you up and down. And then he reaches out and does kind of pat you down sort of against your dress to sort of find your shape beneath it. And then he says, "Yes, I think this will do. Portia! Oh, Portia!" He calls over his shoulder as he starts heading for the back.
What have I gotten myself into?
We can cut away here. And we have another unseen prompt to hit. Let's ask Celine here as we head back to you. Prompt number 3. An older woman picks through the mud. Lost in her own world, she does not seem to focus on items of monetary value. What do we see her collect instead?
I think she is just kind of collecting, like... I think it's scraps of paper. I think whenever she finds something kind of paper, even vaguely, like even like labels, like pulling torn and shattered labels off of things. I think she's just collecting them and putting them into a closed little basket, seemingly without care for whatever the contents are.
And as you and Vice Admiral Flag begin your unhurried walk about London, perhaps back towards home, for a while you walk in silence. Flag is unconcerned with an uncomfortable quiet stretching out for a while. And I do think at this point I want to ask you, what condition are you clearing?
It is either Claude or a meal for Alice Beale.
I like the idea of ditching a meal for Alice Beale, unless you really like the idea of future vampire problems for yourself.
No, I mean, I think I do hope that given what we have done, we have set her up as a recurring side character. But I do not think it is going to be Alice trying to track me down to be like, hello, please, War of the Blood, please. I don't think that's really in the cards. So I think maybe that's our first one off.
Excellent. And as you walk at seemingly a random point, Flag just begins speaking. Unprompted, there's not really a question or anything. HMS Chimera, my first command. Do you remember it?
It would be hard not to remember. I was a passenger a few times, if you recall.
Indeed. Fine warship she was, unconcerned with beauty. None of them understood the choice. It was a time of peace. Britannia rules the seas, and so on. And as part of this, I'm going to ask you your question here, Letitia. Mm-hmm. Do you ever dream? It might even be, do you still dream, Letitia? Always, I have been fascinated by them. The unreal, the conjurings of the sleeping mind. I've only made it this far because of my dreams. And in those days, I dreamed of a beast, a monster, with three heads. When I heard of Chimera, I knew it must have been intended for me. And so I claimed it. Quite the path that dream has led me on since.
Indeed it has. I can't say I've dreamt in some time. Some things we leave behind on our travels, you know?
I have left behind many pieces of myself. The path continues. Tread carefully, Letitia. See that you do not stumble from yours. Because I think very suddenly you are in front of Hargrave House. Much quicker than this walk feels like it should have taken you there.
Has he vanished by the time I realize that?
No, I think he actually quite happily just walks away from you next door towards Chimera, humming a little clumsy sailor song. As he just happily begins to depart.
She doesn't yell it after him, but like looking after him, she just kind of says, you make sure you know where your path is going, Flag.
Excellent. Oh, he's wretched. We've heard from Briar, we've heard from Celine. Ida, can you give us this final night scene here as we head back towards Cassidy? Several bedraggled children poke a bloated corpse with sticks. Those who do not double over retching rifle through the waterlogged effects. What last traces of this person's life or death do they run off with?
Much like, what was the name of this lovely lad that I just met?
That's Periwinkle.
Periwinkle?
Yes.
Yeah. Much like Periwinkle, this corpse was outfitted in little but jewelry, and they run off with various rings and bracelets and necklaces.
And as children scamper off with a dead person's little luxuries into the night, you have a slightly taller person completely hopping mad at you, Cassidy. As Thomas Simpson stands before you, completely irate and livid, and he says, "If you're not investigating me and you don't think I'm worth your time, then what the hell are you doing here?"
I think Cassidy kind of like looks around like at the rest of the gods behind him and just kind of gestures at it and is like, I'm kind of here for the rest of the gods."
He says, "No, no, no, you're not. If you were, you'd be at the dancing platform, or you would be bowling at the bowling saloon, or a thousand other attractions inside my park. Instead, you're lingering outside of it, being suspicious."
"Buddy, none of the things you just said sound like investigating to me."
"Precisely. You're not attending the park. You're not having a lovely, wonderful evening of fun and seaside entertainment." As he's now struggling to finish his sentences, he's so upset he's not breathing in. "Do you understand how hard it is to run an American bowling saloon with no American? Do you know how you left me in the lurch? Calamity Carver?"
"I'm sure that might be mighty difficult for you."
And I'm curious if you're trying to get anything useful out of him here, or trying to make him go away, or...
I think Cassidy is looking for useful? Like any kind of excuse to walk away from this conversation.
Yeah, you can blow him off if you want. You can just completely blow past this guy and try to get up to something
if
else.
If anything, I think he's trying to like keep an eye on the park, like the gardens behind him, while like slowly fending this conversation off.
Yeah, people in the background screaming, "Oh my god, a fish monster!" And you know, things catching on fire.
Like that is happening.
That's quite fun. I'll be mean here and say, go ahead and give me a information move with reason as you try to keep an eye on the park.
I'm really good at reason. Plus zero. Oh, I'm really good at reason.
You are.
Holy shit.
Goddamn.
That is a 12. That's incredible.
It's all coming up, Cassidy.
I'm going to come back to these clues. I'll give you what you get from this in a little bit. Over at the Society Obscura, Ashling, you are being led into the rear rooms by Periwinkle here. As Perry is, I think, taking you by the hand after having taken it and kissed it. He's now just leading you in. And he says, "Now, I'm sure they won't mind, but it's always best to try and tread a little carefully. So they're shooting right now. Just, you know, don't step in or make sudden moves. But they're lovely people. I promise you, Ashling. They'll adore you."
"Okay. And..." "When you say shooting..."
"Ah, yes." He chuckles at this. As it's kind of a country bumpkin mistake. And he's like, "Ah, yes, it takes your picture. Shooting is a little bit of camera lingo. I learned it from Portia."
"Interesting. I'll try to remember that."
And
I think, kind of a little bit bewildered. I think I'm, for now, just following in carefully.
Mm-hmm. This is the jungle room, as a brass plate on the door indicates as you walk in. This townhouse is used for artistic photography. It's decorated to look like an overgrown jungle. And so I think the walls are painted in greens and dappled patterns. There's all sorts of real and fake plants. And I'm curious, as we paint the scene, do you find the decorations here surprisingly lifelike or hopelessly gaudy? Why? And I'd love to hear if Ashling thinks this is awesome or tacky as hell.
Oh, I think it's... No, I think this is pretty tacky. If this is a jungle room, I feel like there's one of those, like, maybe one of the walls has painted on it, like, a tiger, but it's painted by somebody who has never seen a tiger, only heard it described, you know?
So it looks all scuffed. That's great.
Yeah, Yeah, it just looks like it has like the mix between, it's like a house cat with like a weird like monster dragon face. And the stripes are just going in the wrong direction, etc.
Phenomenal. Anyone else here got some gaudy jungle details they want to throw at us?
Does plastic exist right now? It doesn't really in like,
I don't think so.
We could have a rubber snake.
Mm. Oh, see, I was gonna go for like fake leaves. Big fake jungle leaves. Oh, yeah. Was my first thought. That could
be fun. I'm sure they made fake leaves out of something.
Probably just out of like paper mache kind of stuff. It does not look very good.
Excellent. And I think after a moment here, something rustles in the false underbrush. And a quite striking looking woman who you realize is nude except for body paint hops out of the underbrush on all fours and I think goes meow. And then you hear the poof and big flash of light as a camera captures her on all fours, lit against this backdrop and this horribly painted tiger in the background.
Oh my fucking god.
And then Periwinkle literally bounces up and down and is like, oh my goodness, yippee, that was wonderful, Mrs. Portia.
I think Aisling is definitely blushing even more, but looks really confused too. And it's just like, hi. So I'm here about a camera. This is not what I thought it was gonna be when I walked in here. Hello.
Portia stands on her back feet, drawing up to look you in the eye. You're very aware that she's dressed in nothing but painted on tiger stripes.
Mm-hmm.
She says, we have a variety of cameras here. What precisely brings you looking for one?
And she, takes out of a pocket this photograph. I think probably it's just written on the... I imagine one of us wrote on the back, like, what it was taken with. So I fish that out of a pocket and, you know, I fumble and drop it and pick it up again. And read off the back of it the name of this camera.
It's the Whately camera.
Yeah. The Whately camera. I've heard a lot of good stuff about it.
I think Portia narrows her eyes and points to the door that led into the jungle room and says, unlike you, I know nothing about such a thing. Perry, would you show her the door? And he very apologetically is like, oh, I'm so sorry. And is excusing you and sort of hushing you out the door as Portia does not like that question or this photo. What do you do?
Oh, man. I say, wait. I think we got off on the wrong foot here. I'm not a fan of this either. I'm trying to, what's a good lie here? I'm like, I can't just be like, I hate this camera. I too wish to destroy it. no. Do I have a good excuse?
You could also come clean and say, I'm with Hargrave House. We're looking into a disappearance. Like,
That's true. But what are the chances this lady is?
The lie could be you want to be photographed by it. That could be a fun problem to have.
That's fun. I could say. Okay, so I think what I say as I'm being like herded out of the room is like, wait, no. I just want to be. It's my dream to be photographed by a camera like that. If you don't have that one, I guess any other would do, but...
I like this. Go ahead and give me the... Do you think this is an information move? Or is this a night move to avoid being thrown out?
Well, it is night, isn't it?
It is night. But I don't know if you're in explicit danger here.
I don't think there's that much danger. Presence is the
big thing.
I think
this is the information move with presence.
All right.
I don't think the trust of Alice Beale hurts you here.
For once, yeah. All right, so that's 2d6 plus 1. We got a 9.
A 9. Phenomenal. So you cry out, wait, I want to be photographed. And at that, she softens a little and says, well, why didn't you say so? I mean, look at you. You would be a natural model. And I think that is your condition here, Aisling. And at this point is when something curious catches your eye in this room that you hadn't noticed before. Over in a little cage made of seemingly crystal or glass, it's kind of twinkling in the light in here, there is an albino peacock.
Oh.
And it's just sort of staring at you through the bars as Portia beckons you back in.
Interesting.
Actually, since we're getting to the end here, she doesn't beckon you back in. What she'll say instead is, I'll tell you what. You come back tomorrow, and I would love to photograph you.
How about that? That would be an honor. Thank you. Oh, is it okay if I bring some friends? They just want to watch.
The more the merrier, right, Perry? And he turns beet red at that. And very politely, still holding your hand, leads you back out to the door and is like, sorry, she's very protective of the club.
Oh, she's lovely, I'm sure. We all have our sore spots.
Well, I'm excited to see you again, Aisling. Hurry back, okay?
Will do. And I think I head out the door. Just kind of like weirdly embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Sort of head back home in a huff.
And we end here, heading back to Cremorne Gardens for just a further moment. Mm-hmm. As Cassidy stares into the park, trying to tune out this irritating man who... distantly, you recognize there's something important he's saying. He's ranting about how Madame Tussauds, the wax works. I don't know if everyone here is familiar. They do wax models of famous individuals. Madame Tussauds is apparently opening a new exhibit soon called Terrors of the Deep. And Simpson is ranting about how Madame Tussauds is going to drive him out of business with this hot new attraction. But you're not really listening to that, because you are focused on a mastermind clue, a new attraction advertised by little banners and posters, and it is a stitched together taxidermy of a chimera of... three animals in one. That is the... just triple checking. It's a goat, a lion, and...
is it a snake?
Is that right? That sounds right.
Goat, lion, and snake are the classic ones, yeah?
Yeah. And so this is a really strange taxidermy. And all these little banners and signs are advertising, you know, come see the terror of Chimera. And it's really odd to you, especially as, you know, Flag has been on your mind somewhat lately. But those are our two clues here. Is Madame Tussauds Waxworks is opening an upcoming Terrors of the Deep exhibit, and a bizarre cobbled together taxidermy showing three different animals sewn together. And that is going to bring us to the end of our session here.
Nice. Woo. We did it.
We did it.
We survived another day. We made it
through another day.
I used my TNT.
We used your TNT. Yeah. You got to shoot something. 4 episodes in, you finally got to use your character-defining firearm. I love it.
Hell yeah.
That was a lot of fun. We've got some Dawn stuff to wrap up real quick, and then we can get out of here. So first, we collect rewards if a threat was resolved, and indeed it was, as I can now triumphantly on the sheet mark off the Limehouse Lurker as resolved. And the Limehouse Lurker has some delightful rewards for us to pick. I'll post this in the chat. So everybody gets one of these, and these are... Jenny Johnston becomes a recurring side character. She was the proprietor of the Opium Den, a prominent Chinese immigrant. You get one extra clue on the information move when you seek her counsel about events in East London. There's the Man in the Sun Mask becomes a recurring side character. You get an extra clue on the information move when you seek his counsel about other worlds. We cannot take the vampire as a recurring side character. We chattered about perhaps having the vampire here be Alice. Yeah, there's so maybe that is on the table, but rules as written, the lurker is not available for us to befriend. And then, of course, we can always take a memento to add to your personal quarters. I believe Letitia had hers picked in advance.
Yeah, man, we know what it is.
Yeah, it's the Man in the Sun Mask, isn't it?
I don't know if he would do this, but my thought when we thought we might have been picking these out right away after we finished was just like Letitia laying down on the rubble outside of the Dog and Whistle, and the Man in the Sun Mask just coming up and being like, "Do you need a hand?"
I'll do you one better, Letitia. When Flag walks away, you open the door. And actually, as you reach for it, the Man in the Sun Mask opens it and says, "Welcome home."
Hello.
And I think that's all we see of him here. Big smile under the half mask.
Incredible. I want a memento.
Yeah. All sorts of good stuff here. Is this something you scooped up out of the vampire's lair? Is this... what else could it be? Something from the other world?
So I have to ask another hunter. Can I just put the question to both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever has something, feel free to give it to me.
We did kind of explode the vampire's lair.
Yeah, but we could. Something could have come with us. I mean, I don't know if it's... I don't know if you really want it, but we have several times mentioned the doll with a broken face.
Also the book on the Egyptian underworld.
Oh, the missing book, yeah.
The missing book actually is also a good
that's
one.
Pretty good too.
Well, that's a second book for Aisling, which would be cute.
I like that.
Yeah, collect a book.
I'll take a book.
We will have to return that when we're done with it.
I think I'll also be taking a memento. The idea of having Jenny Johnson around to like get extra clues out of sounds good, but I didn't talk to her once, I don't think.
Same. I don't know she exists.
you saw her being hassled by a cop and hurried over to hang out with Letitia, which was very proletarian of you.
Yeah. Look, I like her well enough, but unfortunately for her, I have a side character that I feel is more relevant.
I'm just gonna say it. I don't think being a recurring side character is a good thing for them. You know? Like, it has a mechanical benefit for you. I think Jenny Johnston is quite happy to no longer be in the between.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Man in the Sun Mask, it's gonna go fire for him one way or the other.
So
yeah, I'll also be taking a memento.
Yeah, what's a good memento for Cassidy? Vampire tooth?
Add to a necklace or something.
Although, I guess that compresses the time fascinatingly, because it was shoot the vampire, steel tooth, rig up dynamite to blow, which is a...
Or is it more like, I mean, you know, is it like maybe while we're taking care of Alice, we find like, oh, there's a broken off thing.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
It's the lantern.
Sure,
that's good. The lantern is useful.
Phenomenal. Cool. So we've got the Man in the Sun Mask, we have a book on the Egyptian underworld, and we have fancy lantern. Next up in our dawn phase here is we answer our dawn questions. I think I went in reverse order last time, so I'll go in regular this time, starting with the American. Did the hunters answer a question? Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Did the hunters resolve a threat? Yes, you handled the Limehouse Lurker.
Yeah.
Did you experience an echo in the night? Did you have any connections between your mudlarking scene of the boys getting into a brawl?
That was happening beside the River Thames, and I was beside the River Thames because Cremon Gardens is right beside it.
I'm not sure about that one.
That fight was happening there, like 6 feet away.
There was you having a fight with somebody, and the fight does not seem to have been about what the fight was about.
I take that. I would allow that.
I suppose.
But I think it's a stretch.
Thank you.
But
diving in to try and get Briar an extra XP.
Briar, did you use violence to solve a problem today?
Did I use anything other than violence to solve problems?
One time you used ignoring someone.
Oh, that's true.
And did you stick out in London society for all the wrong reasons?
I think so.
I think Thomas Simpson screaming at you for being a worthless, no good American probably counts. So that is...
I'd like to think so.
That is every single XP prompt. That is a well-earned five. Wow.
Nice.
Clean sweep.
Call that a full house?
Yep, and it was long away from an advancement, so...
Letitia, yes, we answered a question. Yes, we resolved a threat. You experienced an echo in the night with your little glass vials. You deliver a chilling, dead-eyed monologue about the horrors of the world.
I think I got a little of this with Flag, especially when we talked about opium.
You're saying that you no longer dream because you left it behind? Yeah, that's...
I think it was that, and kind of what I was thinking is the we made sure that opium had the world at its grip felt in line with this.
Sure, I'd allow that. And then, did you use your loyalty to Her Majesty to justify your brutal actions?
This one I don't think we hit. I got this in preparation for the possibility of we might be fighting a vampire, and we might be fighting a child in broad daylight. So I kind of just called that shot, and it wasn't needed. So
yeah, that's okay. 4 XP is a plenty good harvest. And then last but absolutely not least here, Aisling. Yes, we answered a question. Yes, we resolved a threat. Did you experience an echo in the night?
I think so. It was the jeweled corpse and the jeweled very lively man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It works backwards, right?
Like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it can go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then, did you counsel someone using your supernatural affinities as the basis for that advice?
I don't think so.
I don't think saying "help, it's down here" counts.
No,
as
this was very reactive, Aisling. Oh,
there was the stuff with the ritual.
Yeah, it was
things being drawn on the
wall. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, actually, I was doing that specifically to angle for that. So
totally. That's my bad for forgetting. That was really cool to be like. The most efficient combat counter spell is, in fact, shooting the spell and then shooting the caster. Cool. So that is a full run from you as well. I think everybody gets an advancement today. Is that right?
Yep, that is correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
I already know what mine is.
I've already taken mine.
What did y'all take?
You want to go first?
Sure. I've taken an additional move from my playbook. I've taken As Cruel as the Harlot's Curse. When you indulge your vice alone in the dark and seedy underbelly of London, in order to deaden your senses, roll with vitality. On hit, declare a condition and choose one from the list below. On a 10+, I get 2 instead. And those are a bunch of pretty useful things. You don't draw unwanted attention. You befriend a side character.
That's awesome.
You improve your next quickening roll. You get a clue.
You befriend a side character is so funny because the idea that Cassidy goes out, you know, looking for ladies of the night to, and maybe, you know, some non-gender locked options there for sex workers, and comes back and is like, guys, I made a buddy.
Hell yeah. I made a friend.
Especially like some of the threats do have sex workers as side characters, and so the idea that the character you've befriended is a client, you know, or you're their client is really, really fun to imagine.
I love so that.
This move looks great. I'm really excited for it. Atisha, what about you?
Yeah, that one's really good. Mine is pretty simple. I have just unlocked two further checkboxes for the Royal Explorers Club.
Yeah.
I also, it went unmentioned, but because we resolved a threat, I did unmark one checkbox, so we now have four available favors from the REC that we can call on as needed.
The idea of just throwing all of those at Sir Anthony for 8 clues is so funny.
It's that, but there's a lot of stuff here, and honestly, one we may want to look into at some point is a very interesting, potentially powerful option is we can just do another night phase.
Oh.
Entirely.
Huh.
Yes.
We get a new unseen, we get new actions. It's a kind of just a way to stuff extra things into a day before shit gets out of hand. So if we're,
I like that.
If some pots are starting to boil, we might need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff we have in here that we may want to preemptively use a couple of, but we'll see.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to not see the armory get used in advance of this raid, but you were right. It's dusk phase only.
Yes, unfortunately. And I've come up with a clever little excuse, but maybe, honestly, something I might do next time is preemptively call in this favor so we can just, because they don't go away until we use them, so we can just get some extra items from this list. That might be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Do we want to...
Oh.
Ashling, did you get something new?
Yes. I was actually going to take familiar, but because of... Because I don't necessarily know if the familiar sort of ability I've chosen is going to play that much into these next couple of threats, I'm going to choose a beacon in the dark instead. This one is basically, when you walk the streets of London at night, your consciousness spreading across the city like a vast spider web, yada yada yada, you can basically be immediately confronted by a threat or a personified danger related to the threat, and then I can talk to them.
That's very fun.
Yeah, I love to just chat awesome. With the bad guys.
I'm sure will cause no problems whatsoever.
None
when
at all.
Just start summoning the enemy to you.
Oh yeah, I love that I have to get a 10 plus. Like on a 10 plus, the threat or danger departs as soon as the questions are answered. Which I love the implication being that, like, most likely they're not gonna leave me alone after that.
Oh yeah. I mean, to use the example of what we just finished, the idea that you could just call up the lurker and be like, what the fuck is your deal? And then now the vampire's here. Yeah. It's like, well, you know, that's quite the dubious blessing. that move one. Is delightful. Cool. Mm-hmm. So everybody's getting all amped up as Hargrave House is in the swing of things here.
Yeah.
Folks, let's close this out with some stars and wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Stars, I had a lot of fun. Cassidy finally got to shoot. We got to fight a vampire. I did not expect Alice Beale to get turned. And that's a fascinating little mess that we'll have to contend with. I had a lot of fun today. I really like Ashling being uncomfortable with how horny the society is.
That's so funny.
And they are written that way. Like the note that Periwinkle has like small, beautiful, bejeweled feet, I was like, oh, this is lovingly written. So yeah, I love the Society Obscura. They're a bunch of freaks, and things will only get less normal with them as we go forward.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We get the Coven next time, a playbook-specific threat.
Yeah.
I'm
very excited to see the Coven in action, finally.
Me too. Mm-hmm. And there's a slim chance of something that I'm now really excited about the potential for on the GM side.
Oh, interesting.
So, can't Can we know what it? Can we get a hint of what it is?
Yeah, what I'll say is mastermind clues progress the game through a kind of meta progression mechanic called layers of the conspiracy. With the revised numbers, which I meant to do a little intro about today, but we were busy with a lot of other things. These recently got adjusted so that they're a little lower. And so at layer one, the first mastermind clue, the mastermind shows up. At three clues, the mastermind starts having their backstory revealed, which is why we had that scene today talking about him dreaming of Chimera and claiming that as his ship. And then the next step up is the mastermind gets to pick a currently active threat, remove it from play, and turn it into their servant.
Oh, wow.
And so anything currently active can get scooped up and forced to go unresolved, as instead it's now part of what the mastermind is up to.
Interesting.
Obviously, with a playbook-specific threat, I would check in on what you're comfortable with before doing that, mm-hmm. but getting to three mastermind clues today means two more before I get to make that move on an active threat. And honestly, all three of the current ones would be a really fun toy for Flag to pick up. The dimension-shifting camera, the fish monster, or the witch coven.
I have to say also, I'm fascinated by the potential idea of Flag recruiting a Pinkerton.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm starting to run out of masks that aren't either introduce the Pinkertons or die.
You have some other exciting problems you could take. You could lower your reason down to a -2, which would be really exciting.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You could hurt an innocent. And so that's pretty much it. Yeah, we're actually, wow, we are four masks away from the end of Calamity Cassidy Carver.
Yeah, we're not doing great masks-wise as a crew, even.
Teehee.
Teehee.
It's going to be Ashling and two new characters in a while, it feels like.
Yeah.
Well, and especially, I don't know what it is, Letitia, you are a condition magnet. I assume it's just your bad karma for a life of colonialism, but like, mm-hmm. I never know this is happening when I'm GMing, and then we get to the end of the session and you have three conditions.
Yeah, I gotta take more drugs next time.
More drugs.
It went so well this time. But that was a very distracted stars, I guess. It's just I had a phenomenal time today, and I again wish I was just running the next session tomorrow. This game is good. The way all of the like pieces and parts fit together and sort of roll onward during a campaign, like we're now really seeing that engine work, and I love it. I'm having such a good time running this game.
Yeah, I'm having a ton of fun playing. This is a really fun session.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, it was really fun. I like this game a lot.
Me too. And I guess for wishes, my big wish is to play more of the Man in the Sun Mask, which I'm going to get. I want to go inside Cremorne Gardens someday. We've had two scenes outside of it. Someday, by hook or by crook, we will in fact enter the theme park.
We need a shot of Cassidy in that bowling alley just looking like disgusted.
Please, its full name, the American Saloon Bowling Alley. Mm-hmm. But I love the Waitley camera. I want to hang out with these weird horny photography freaks forever.
Yeah, I feel like I'm never gonna go to that fucking theme park. I'm just gonna skip that one.
That's one of the funny things about these games having multiple threats ongoing at once is like you can fully just check out on one and be like, eh, the other guys have it.
Oh yeah.
We saw the opposite of this where everyone else just said, eh, Ashling has the haunted house handled. Yeah. We'll go do other shit because that seems like an Ashling problem.
I can't shoot a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I also want to go to the camera because I think it's funny for Letitia to be in the same room as these camera freaks. Mm-hmm.
Well, I could have Cremorne Gardens.
Well, you say that, and I do want you there, but I also think they would love to take pictures of the most beloved.
Probably.
So, I think the coven will perhaps get away with whatever they're up to for a little while next time, because we have such good stuff on the menu. Any other stars or wishes we want to get to?
I like getting to talk with Flag. I like when that happens. He's a piece of shit, but it's funny to have him on screen with Letitia.
Yeah, I pretty rarely get to do like a like single character antagonist for campaigns. I often do either
ensembles.
Yeah, I like to go up against factions, or I like to go up against like cosmic things. And so a guy that you can like wax a little nostalgic about the past with is like kind of novel for me. It's fun that you can just hang out with the villain of this game.
Yeah.
Neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, for stars for me, I want to say I just had a lot of fun throwing myself into danger this time, or getting thrown into danger, I guess. Just burning a little bit more of the Ashlyn candle, as it were. Mm-hmm. I really like the way this game sort of burns away at characters, and I think we got a lot of that this time, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, I it's one thing to see it on the page, it's another to actually like feel how tangible a cost everyone has to mark a mask to not fuck up answering a question.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
Like, three masks at once are just such a big bite out of your cast.
Yeah.
And especially like when it's something pretty hard, like finding a vampire, and you just know that we're gonna spend more masks after two.
Yeah, your reward for spending a finite resource is a horror game boss fight. It's like fucking hell, which is a really fun way to like genuinely sell the pressure. You know, every PBTA game is an exercise in genre emulation, and I think this is completely nailing it.
Oh yeah, and like no wishes really, just want to play more of it.
Yeah, I wish we were playing.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I don't know if I have a specific wish or anything. Like, it's more.
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, we are now pretty firmly out of our like starting jitters. Like, there's inertia here.
Oh yeah,
and it feels good. It feels really good. I'm having a phenomenal time.
Absolutely.
Well, gang, you are delightful players. I had a phenomenal time with you all today. Excited to come back to it soon.
Yahoo.
We'll see y'all later.